The views expressed on this program are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of WVUD or the University of Delaware. Welcome to the Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark. Each week, WVUD hosts different artists to talk about the music they play and the lives they lead. Stay tuned for the Music Room on WVUD.
Hey everybody, it's Amanda Richard here, and welcome to the Music Room on WVUD. Tonight we're going to share with you an interview I recorded back on June 23rd of 2014 with Becky Buller, a fiddler and songwriter and singer and clawhammer banjo player. And she was just a delight to talk with. So stay tuned for Becky Buller on the Music Room on WVUD.
Well, I feel like I've wrestled Becky Buller away from all her family duties. Thank you so much for chatting with us this evening.
Well, Richard, thanks for having me on. I'm really glad to be here.
Well, actually, you're there and I'm here, but that's...
Well, but I'm glad to be right here and at home again, because I've been gone for most of the last 10 days.
Where have you been off traveling to?
I was in Lowville, New York with Darren and Brooke Aldridge and playing the Tug Hill Festival. And then we drove back. They dropped me and the banjo player off, and we drove back to Middle Tennessee. And I switched out my suitcase real fast and grabbed all my teaching gear. And I went to Kaufman Camp in Maryville, Tennessee for their Bluegrass Week. And I just got back from that. So that was crazy. We were going full tilt all week long, but it was really fun. I had about 30 students, fiddle students, that I worked with, and it was myself and Josh Goforth from Lorraine Jordan and Carolina Road, and Barbara Lamb and Annie Standenek. I think I'm saying her last name wrong. She's with the Kathy Kallick Band. But anyway, we were the four fiddle teachers for the week, and it was just a blast and getting to hang with them and do some double and triple fiddling. Annie Savage was there. She's with Jeff Scroggins in Colorado. She was teaching kind of a Bluegrass 101 class, but she and I were roommates, and we got in on a lot of double and triple fiddling last week on the teacher showcases in the evenings, and it was just really a lot of fun. Had a really good time.
How old is Romy? Because I bet she's glad to have her mama back.
Oh, yeah. She's 15 months. I imported my mom from Minnesota for this last week to help me with Romy. And we just took her back to the airport this morning. So that was very, very sad. And Grandma had a really hard time going back.
Now, how did you get from Minnesota down to Tennessee?
I got down here through school, actually. I came down to East Tennessee State University in 97 and studied bluegrass music in their bluegrass and country music program. Jack Tottle was the director at that time. And then Raymond McLean came on as assistant director during my time there. Susie Gott and her husband, Christian Seguire, were there also during my time. I took guitar and mandolin from him. I took songwriting from her. And Raymond McLean was just a delight to learn from as well. And Jack Tottle, just, oh my gosh, this. So many great stories, and it was just an amazing time. And there's so many pickers in the area. You know, Doyle Lawson lives just up the road in Bristol. Tim Stafford's in Kingsport, and it goes on and on and on. And it was great for me to get down to the area where this music comes from. And so, I mean, I learned a lot from the college program, but also from being in the area and just getting to meet people and, you know, the people that created this music, and just helped me feel like I had a better handle on it. So, but anyway, I got a public relations degree in 2001, and then I hit the road with Valerie Smith and was in her band for 10 years.
One of the songs that you recorded with Valerie was, I think, on your 2008 CD, Here's a Little Song, that you and she did together.
Mm-hmm.
We got to play this because it's one of my favorites. My band will sometimes play it. Four Wet Pigs.
Yes, a Greg Brown classic. And then I added the ham chorus to the end of it. And I made the mistake of playing this for her as a joke when we were picking out songs from that album. She said, no, we have to do it. And I was like, no, really? And she's like, no, we have to do it. And so we did. It was really fun. I've loved this song. And it's funny that you picked this one out, because this last week at Kaufman Camp, Keith Yoder was there. And he's with the McPunk Brothers. Well, actually, you know what? I don't even know if he still does the McPunk Brothers thing. But when I was growing up, he had that band. And he's from Iowa. And my family band and his band would play shows together. And they would do this song. And I learned this song from them, so it was really fun to see him this past week and get to hang out and talk Midwesterner. And then there were these Michiganders that I was sitting next to at breakfast for every morning. I just sort of gravitated toward them. And so now, you know, I've got to have an intervention so my husband can understand me again.
Listen to those vowel sounds. Listen to those vowel sounds.
I've been talking like this almost all week long, and now of course he can't understand a word that I'm saying because he's from Tennessee, born and bred, you know.
I'm laughing so hard, let's just play the record.
Yeah, you better play it before I say something else.
Here's a little song about four wet pigs. Here's a little song about four wet pigs. Two of them little and two of them big. The vets don't hide at the big town jig. Just have grown. Two that were big, big as a barn. Big as a barn, tall as a tree. Take them on down.
Hail. Yeah, listen to country music and bluegrass music. I went out to the University of Missouri out in Columbia. That was definitely Spigma territory, not IBMA territory.
Oh, yes. We had Spigma festivals up in Minnesota, too.
But I think that's really interesting to me is all these different organizations are trying to keep the music alive and something close to the traditional.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, Richard, that's true. See, now you got me going on that accent. I'm just going to begin. It's going to be downhill for the rest of the interview. Yeah. And you know what? IBMA is really, I'm really excited with the direction that IBMA is going. The International Bluegrass Music Association, for those of you who don't know, I'm on the board now. And I'm just, you know, I'm not quite sure. I'm new to the board, so I'm just kind of learning the ropes and stuff. But I'm really excited about the move to Raleigh for their yearly conference and the Wide Open Bluegrass Festival that they're having. They figure about 100 to 150,000 people, I believe, came through downtown Raleigh last year.
Wow.
At the end of September there, and we're listening to bluegrass and bluegrass related music. And if that's not outreach to the greater community, you know, to the world, I don't know what is. And that's way bigger than it ever was in Nashville and or in Louisville. So Raleigh has really rolled out the welcome mat, and they're on board to help make this into a really big deal. And I'm pretty excited about that.
I want to go back to some of the traditional music. Do you actually play clawhammer banjo on stage?
Why, yes, I do. Oh. I picked up the clawhammer banjo because of Gillian Welch. She's one of my very favorite songwriters. When my violin teacher handed me a copy of Gillian's revival record when I graduated from high school, it changed my life. I love her writing. I just admire her so much. So I had to pick up the clawhammer banjo. Because if she jumped off a cliff, I'd follow her. And I took lessons at East Tennessee State from Richard Blaustein, actually, Dr. Richard Blaustein, who plays old-time fiddle and clawhammer banjo. And he's now retired from the school, but he was also an anthropology professor there. And I took that from him, too. But I'm kind of like, I'm neither fish nor fowl, because I'm really, I'm sort of a clawhammer dabbler. I guess maybe an old-time dabbler, because the old-time pickers see me coming a mile away and they're like, you're a bluegrass player. And the bluegrass pickers, you know, with me when I play, switch over to a clawhammer song, they're kind of like, oh yeah, you're old-time. So I'm sort of caught in the middle, but I love it. I love that feel. And I think it was easier for me to, I tried both styles of banjo, and I think it was easier for me to pick up the clawhammer because of the rhythm is the same
right.
as the fiddle rhythm. You know, it's just terminology. On banjo, it's doo-wacka, doo-wacka. And on fiddle, it's one-tater, two-tater. But it's the same thing.
Two different versions of the shuffle.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I play a D.P. Hopkins banjo. It's got a little more juice than your regular old-timey clawhammer banjo. And Paul makes a great instrument. So I love it. And I've got a... I'm equipped to be really loud. I've got a Fishman Rare Earth pickup on it. and so if I've got a plug-in, I can. And I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. I love that feel.
Well, you're in a good position there as a member now of the IBMA board to help everyone understand that it's all one big tent. There doesn't need to be division between old-time and bluegrass.
Oh, I hate that argument about, well, that's not traditional bluegrass, you know, or that's not bluegrass. That's what it is. That's not bluegrass. Well, what is bluegrass? It's hard to define. And there's just so much great acoustic music that is, you know, part of the bluegrass tree, from the very traditional folks like Junior Sisk and Rambler's Choice to, you know, out there on the outer reaches of the branches with the, you know, the Punch Brothers. I mean, what they're playing is, I guess, more like rock but they're a traditional bluegrass band in their makeup, you know? So I don't know. It's all great music and I love all of it.
One band I was in, a strict old timey.
Mm-hmm.
We covered Walk Like an Egyptian by the Bangles. It's like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. But it works with the clawhammer banjo really well. I played it with Valerie. I wish I could have gotten it recorded. It didn't fit this record, but this new record, yeah. but it's perfect with the clawhammer banjo.
Well, let's talk about some of the best new bluegrass around, like your new song, Nothing to You. Tell us about that.
Well, I wrote this one a long time ago in another lifetime, and all I'll say is that, you know, everything that happens in a songwriter's life is material, and so is everything that happens in the lives of those around the songwriter. And that's all I'll say about that. But I've got some really great folks helping me out here. Barry Bales on the bass, Ron Block on the banjo, Jesse Brock on the mandolin, Kenny Smith on guitar and harmony vocal, Amanda Smith on the other harmony vocal. And who am I missing? I'm missing somebody. I guess Rob Ikes. That's right.
That's right.
We got him to do a dobro break on there too. So it's fast. It's about love gone wrong. It's bluegrass.
Here's Becky Buller's Nothing to You from her new CD, Between Earth and Sky, on WVUD.
I open my home to you, I open my heart, trusting that you would see what I saw all along. How could I know that you were just playing a part, biding your time until
How long have you been writing?
Most of my young life, for as long as I can remember, quite honestly. I have a very vivid memory of mowing the lawn and writing a song. Of course, we had a push mower. And then I think after I left home, they got a really decrepit riding lawnmower that my brother ran. But I had to push mow the yard. Woe to me. But I remember writing a song and I was so excited about it. And then I sang it a few times and realized that I totally ripped off the melody to Rock, Salt, and Nails. It's a great melody, though. Yeah, I was maybe, I don't know, 13 or 14 at that point. But I had been writing instrumental stuff on piano long before that, because piano is actually my first instrument. Mom and Dad started me on that when I was 5, and I started violin lessons when I was 10, but I really wanted to do fiddle. Just picked up a lot of other instruments along the way.
Now, you've done a lot of writing for a lot of different people. I mean, Ricky Skaggs, Rhonda Vincent, both of them have recorded some mm-hmm. of your songs. Mm-hmm. Just seems like everybody. I mean, even Kenny and Amanda Smith's first record had some of your material on it.
Yeah, they recorded a few songs of mine, and Doa Lawson and Quicksilver. Mark Newton actually was the first nationally touring act to cut one of my songs. He cut Charlie Lawson Still that I also recorded on my first record. So yeah, it's been pretty cool. The Churchmen have some stuff out right now. And Darren and Brooke Aldridge, who I'm playing for now. This is the title cut of Special Consensus's second to the last studio album, and it was actually up for a Grammy a I guess it's been a couple years ago now. Or was that last year?
Came out.
I think it was the 2013.
It was the 2013 Grammys, because the album came out in 2012.
2012, that's right. Yeah, everything's starting to just mush together. I had a baby. I can't remember anything. That's my excuse. And I was at camp, and I had to talk like this because of those Michiganders and Iowegians I was sitting next to, and that just totally fries your brain.
But Special Consensus is not from Minnesota or Iowa.
Oh, that's true. They're from Chicago. Yeah. So there you go. But anyway, this I wrote this song because of a road sign along I-81 near Marion, Virginia. It's not there anymore. I think they changed it out and just put like the county road number instead of the name Scratch Gravel Road. So I don't know why they did it. I mean, because Scratch Gravel Road is a whole lot more interesting to have on the sign, but. And every time I hear this song, I think of my friend Carson Cooper, who passed away several years ago. But he was the banjo player for Appalachian Trail. And I played with them for about 3 years when I was in college. So I miss him a lot. He was a good guy. And he was from Marion, Virginia. So send this song out to him.
Here's a song that Becky wrote. And Special Consensus liked it so much, they uses the title track, the 2012 CD. Scratch Gravel Road on WVUD.
I'll be 21 tomorrow, and prefer to celebrate by finding my way out of here before it's too late. Gonna try to outrun this lonesome way I feel, and leaving in the dust, kicking up behind the wheels on Scratch Gravel Road. Scratch Gravel Road, stretching out, taking hold. Just won't let me go.
I want to talk to you about one last song, and that's also from your newest CD, Southern Flavor, which is not one you wrote. It's one that goes back to Bill Monroe.
Yes, this is the only cover tune that's on the new record. It is a Bill Monroe tune, but it's got new lyrics written by Guy Stevenson, who played bass for Monroe back in 1973, and Guy's co-writer on the lyrics was Dwayne Mize, and Dwayne had a lot of cuts around Nashville, George Jones and others, and Dwayne actually passed away just a few days after we recorded this cut, so he didn't get a chance to hear it. So that was a real shock when Guy called to tell me that Dwayne had passed away. He had a heart attack, and it was all real sudden. But back to the tune, back in the early 90s, Bill Monroe and Guy were doing a festival together. Both bands, you know, were on the festival, and they were sitting on the bus talking because they remained really good friends the rest of Bill's life. Bill said to Guy, "You know my song, Southern Flavor, or my tune?" And Guy said, "Yeah, I do." And Bill said, "Well, write me some lyrics about Southern things." And so Guy did, and he played it for Bill, and Bill really liked it, but never had a chance to go back in the studio because he passed away in 1996. So this song just sat around, and I met Guy at the Pioneers of Bluegrass gathering up at the Bluegrass Museum in Owensboro, Kentucky, and this has been several years ago, and he and I hit it off, and we've actually written several songs since then. He's a hoot and a half. And he and Dwayne and I all wrote some stuff together, but they say, "Hey, we've got this song, you know, we wrote these lyrics for this Monroe tune, you should really record it." And I said, "Well, I don't know when I'm going to get back in the studio." And here it's been a good 6 years since they told me that they'd let me record it. And I'm so glad that it's finally seen the light of day. It was my dad's idea to get all former Bluegrass boys on the recording.
That's a great idea.
So we've got, it's an excellent idea. Yes, yeah, so we've got Roland White on mandolin, Peter Rowan on vocals and guitar, Blake Williams on banjo, Michael Fagan, and Buddy Spiker on triple fiddles with me. And those three guys were on the original cut of Southern Flavor that came out in 1988. And who am I missing? Ernie Sykes on bass. I believe he was Bill Monroe's last bass player. Anyway, it was amazing because all of these guys are, you know, heroes of mine and have been on recordings that are, you know, some of my favorites. And to get to that, they would come and do this with me. It's just such an honor.
Now, Mr. Monroe, I don't know if he was joking about it or not, but always used to complain or pretend to complain about what a pain it was to do a recording with triple fiddles.
Well, you know, all us fiddlers, we want to play it our way, and if you know, we can't do that if we're if we're playing with other fiddlers, you know, because you got to keep everything real strict into the melody, you know, so the harmony fits in right. And you know, double fiddles is tough, and triple fiddles is worse for that. But oh man, does it sound good! I love it. And we circled the wagons and we played them. We had three mics set up, and we were in the big room at the studio, and we just played it till we got it right. It took us about 3 hours. Most of that was just working up the part, which you'd think just harmony in the minor in a minor key is tougher than the major key. It just is. I don't know why, but it was really fun. You know, both Buddy and Michael were real patient with me. I had to get Michael to. There was one little turn in there that I wasn't doing quite like the record, but he set me straight on it. And yeah, that it was just an amazing day.
Well, let's share that amazing day with everybody right now. Here comes Becky Buller and a cast of a half dozen of her close pals.
it's the all bluegrass boy band.
The all bluegrass boy band, except for her. She's a bluegrass girl. Becky Buller and Southern Flavor from her new CD, Tween Earth and Sky, here on WVUD. Becky, I can't thank you enough for spending this much time.
Very cool.
No, you're very cool.
No, you are. No, I insist.
All right. Well, good night, Becky.
Thank you. You have a good night. Bye.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Music Room on WVUD. For more information about this and other episodes of The Music Room, including selections from the interviews and information about the music, visit us online at sites.udel.edu/TMR.